The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani. Right next to Paul Brecht, a very fired up Paul Brecht this morning, but in a good way this time. Well,
I was going to say, you got to specify.
Well. That could soon change in just a couple of minutes when we get to what we are going to get to in just a little bit. But it is Manawahine Wednesday, so shout out to all of the amazing women out there, and especially to all of you amazing women that are listening right now, because you are awesome and you rock every single day. Don't let Harrison Butker tell you otherwise, those that are graduating. So
My fiance asked me, she goes, did you see what that kicker said? And before she said anything else, I stopped. I was like, yep. And she was the one who went on the rant about it. I was impressed because she is not one who typically like goes off on rants. Usually that's me in that household. So it was kind of fun to see the shoe on the other foot, and she was spitting, I'll say that much.
Good, as all women should be. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, feel free to look it up on social media, because I will not give him the time of day to spew his speech and take up my airwaves, but I will say that he is 100% living in the 40s or something, because, and honestly... Actually, you know what? We're going to get back to it at the end of the show, because I don't want to start off with that. But we are going to talk some,
and
we are going to talk some NFL in just a little bit. But yes, Manawahine Wednesday. Don't let Harrison Butker tell you otherwise, especially the young kids graduating that were listening to him, that were listening to his speech. But for Manawahine Wednesday, gonna give a lot of love to our University of Hawaii track and field ladies, specifically the ones on the field. Pretty great things that they had to say in the media scrum yesterday, and I thought it was so fitting to hear from them for Manawahine Wednesday, because they also talked a little bit about and something that we completely don't realize, and I am at fault as well, and to hear the athletes talk about it was eye-opening, simply because we always talk about football. We talk about the football field and TC Ching and the lack of the football field and all of the da 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 da. But we totally have not been talking about how awesome this team did in the Big West Conference Championships, placing third place. But the fact that they have not had a practice place, like, again, we talk about the football. They don't have the grass fields to practice on, yada, 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 which, hey, that's a fair argument. I'm not taking anything away from the argument with football. It is obviously the revenue generator as well, yada, yada, yada. But because this is Manawahine Wednesday, I just want to more so point out that these track and field athletes have been having to go through other resources, not having home meets for the last few years because they have no track, they have no field, and they were able to do all of this stuff and still be able to compete and take third in the Big West Conference Championships. And then you have a couple of them that are awaiting their NCAA qualifications, and one that is less than a foot away from qualifying for the Olympic trials. Like, it's amazing, you guys. So I really thought it was perfect to share a couple of their stories and what they had to say, because when I was listening to it, I was like, that's right. We haven't talked enough about how much these young women have had to endure with not having their practice space. And at the same time, they're still kicking butt and taking names and winning in the Big West Conference tournament or championships, whatever you call it.
I think it's the third straight year they've podiumed now, yes, as well. Under those circumstances, it's truly
crazy.
Incredible.
But we will hear from them coming up in the next segment, a couple of the student athletes as well, and one getting her doctorate. So I'm like, what?
They are all very, very cool women who are just like, they make no excuses type of deal. It really is incredible. It was a nice time getting a chance to sit and listen to them chat yesterday.
I
wish we got a little bit more to chat with them, just because there are so many interesting stories, like you said.
And I think I will try to schedule something official with the their sports information director so that we can do extensive featured pieces on a few of these student athletes. We had talked to track runner Alyssa Mae Antolin. She was actually our last featured guest of Mauna Wahine guest of the year last year. So we'll have some of these other track and field athletes as well. All right. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. The NFL schedule gets released today at 2 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time. Ahead of that, though, there were some big news that came out this morning. We'll start with the more fun news before we hear Paul Brecht go on his rant. The Hard Knocks franchise, or like, is it a franchise? I don't know, whatever. The New York Giants. Giants will star in Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants. It's actually a new spin on the annual series slash franchise produced by HBO NFL Films. So it'll feature the Giants for the first time since the series debuted in 2001. And it's crazy to think that they're like the four-time Super Bowl winning franchise. Appears in its 100th season.
Oh, God.
I'm just like greasing Paul up for like the next NFL news that we're going to talk about.
Is there NFL news?
So this will also be the first iteration of Hard Knocks to document the NFL offseason, chronicling Big Blue's moves from January to July. So that's kind of interesting.
I like that because...
Usually it's during training camp and then you see all of this stuff. And then we talked about how gross it is where they kind of toned it down last season. But
shout out Jets.
Yeah, it was gross to see like everyone get cut before, although I had to watch my classmate get cut by the Jets when how many years ago?
Regime.
Yeah,
different
so
regime.
Five episodes debuts on Tuesday, July 2nd on HBO and will be available to stream on Max with new episodes debuting subsequent Tuesdays through July 30th. So yeah, that's really fascinating to see. I'm curious as to how much they show you of what goes into like the war room when it comes through to the NFL draft. That's probably going to be the most fascinating thing to me. Because other than that, like, I mean, I don't know. Well, maybe discussing contracts and everything. So I thought it's neat. I think they realized that the popularity of Hard Knocks has been kind of decreasing. And then the in-season one, I think a lot of teams want to steer away from it now, and it's just kind of been not that great. So I like that they're still keeping it because I do like to see what goes on behind the scenes with NFL franchises. But at the same time, at least it's a different, it's a way to refresh the series without completely just ending it. So I'm excited to see what this is. I'm sure our AC Custodio, the lone Giants fan in our studios here, will be fascinated to see it as well, but I'm gonna watch, of course.
It's fun, right? And you said it, the behind the scenes stuff is really what NFL fans are drawn to, and that's why in its early stages people liked to see the inner conversations of when people got cut and so on and so forth. I go on and say a lot of teams now have their own kind of version of the behind the scenes mm-hmm. off-season stuff. I know the Jets do an awesome job with One Jets Drive and Flight 23, 24. Every year they update it, so whatever. Yeah. But, you know, it's something that a lot of teams do, and that has, I mean, exploded in popularity amongst NFL fans over the past half decade or so. And if you get that from an NFL version of that, you know, not just like, oh, the team is looking at everything this way, like, you get the people who are very talented over at NFL mm-hmm. Films and NFL Network and the people who also can add in a little bit of help to HBO in terms of just what people want to see. It's exciting to see a rebrand of sorts. Rebrand might be the wrong word, but it's exciting
refresh.
To see. Yeah, a refresh of the series just for the matter of changing it from... Yeah, an ugly time.
Well, and I obviously the streaming services are always competing against each other with HBO. I mean, you kind of see the other series that are produced by Omaha Productions and what they've been able to do with quarterback, and now they're working on like receivers or whatnot. So that's been changing, Which brings us to our next thing with Netflix.
So I was curious
if Paul had seen it yet. And the fact that he didn't come here fired up about it. I was like, ooh, he hasn't seen the news yet. But he couldn't wait until I actually told him about it. And I saw him like scrolling on his phone as to
what
was
checking
be.
What I missed this morning.
So we mentioned it yesterday, but today it has been officially announced that Netflix has signed a 3-year deal to stream the NFL's 2 new Christmas Day games, which it decided to carve out from its schedule earlier this year, and obviously a deal that changes the sports media landscape yet again. They will get games in 2025 and 26 as well, with at least one game on tap for each year. Netflix has, you know, been somewhat coy in what they want to do with sports and the streaming documentaries, as we just mentioned, quarterback and receiver that's coming out. But the NFL obviously continues to just sell off its product and to its own credit as a business. However, for the consumers, it gets a little difficult, but they are continuing to put all of their games or a lot of their games on these streaming platforms. Netflix has always been vying for it. Again, to compete, we have HBO revamping Hard Knocks to potentially keep up with the unscripted type of television with the NFL to compete with Netflix's quarterback and receiver and other streaming platforms. And then now you have Netflix coming into the live sports space, just like we've seen Amazon Prime have the rights to Thursday Night Football. And then, of course, you have Peacock that have some things that are exclusive to the streaming platform, even though you have like NBC that's the main cable thing. And it's all over the place. So now I'm just thinking of all of this stuff that the NFL has sold its product to, with the highest bidders between Google/YouTube and then ESPN and CBS, Fox, NBC, Amazon. And now you add in Netflix.
So theoretically, next season, to watch games that you want to watch, you could possibly need YouTube TV, Sunday Ticket, Prime Video, Peacock, ESPN Plus, and now Netflix. Somebody did the math. Apparently that would approach.
I brought it up yesterday. Yeah, I said it'll be about $1,000 if you're an obsessive fan like our household.
Which is gross.
That needs to watch every... But see, we need to watch like every single
game. Oh, that's right.
Game.
I was making my joke about where I watch the games, but then I realized I couldn't say it on the radio because the bad people are listening and they'll ban it.
Yeah. But like people like us that have to watch every... Like, okay, say if you live in Hawaii and you're a 49er fan, like a lot of them are, you could pretty much get... Oh, but that one game's on Thursday Night Football. Well, that's out the door. But you can get most of your games likely on just regular cable or YouTube TV. If you need to watch every single one of those 49er games, then you might have to get like Amazon Prime because there's a Thursday night game and they'll likely be on some other primetime games. But if you're obsessed like I am and our household that needs to have NFL Red Zone and watch every single game, just in case the Bears game, well, one, the Bears is out of market, so you're less likely to get Bears games on, I can't even see a basic cable anymore because I feel like you just need...
What is basic
at least
cable
YouTube
at this
TV.
Point?
So Bears games, we always have to get like the YouTube TV option that has all the games. Prior to that, it was DirecTV that we would have so that we could at least watch all the Bears games. But now, which was fine, but then now if Caleb Williams and the Bears are balling out and then they land on these...
Yeah, I was going to say when.
You know, they flex the schedule towards the end of the season and they end up on like these primetime, big time Thursday night or maybe the Christmas game. Then, I have Netflix, so we have pretty much everything because
I've been planning on canceling Netflix.
We're
That's
grossly
part why I'm
obsessed,
mad.
Like, sports fans, in case you guys didn't notice my fandom yet. But yeah, at least you only have to worry about 2 games with Netflix. You just got to, when the schedule comes out today, you just have to see what those Christmas games are.
If the Jets
and then you
aren't
can
playing in those
like,
games, I'm not watching them. Yeah. I'm just be so real with you. I'm not watching them on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I don't know what day it is. I don't care that much on that day. No. If it is not the Jets, I will not be watching. Thank you, though. I hope you guys enjoy. I've been I'm just getting frustrated with all the streaming services. I know it's the biggest boomer take of me, but like, well, bring back cable. Like, it was very, very simple back then. And I get wanting to have options and blah, blah, blah. You have fragmented it too much, in my opinion.
Well, it's not even giving options. It's just, this is the ugly side of how popular a sport is. Because you compare it, like we talk about the WNBA all the time, which, woohoo, shout out Aces winning their opener. but
does that mean I get to go, woohoo, shout out Libs, we won ours too? Yeah.
Yeah, on that way to that three-peat, baby. Anyways, but okay, you look at the WNBA, not that popular yet. You buy League Pass, one option, $40. That's it for the entire season. $40, you're good. You can watch it, you can stream it, you can put it on your smart TV, you can get it on your phone. So easy to watch. All games, whenever you want. Now they're putting some games on like ESPN, Disney Plus. We mentioned that, but for the most part, you just get League Pass. If you get League Pass, you can watch it no matter what. Again, popularity. And then you have the most popular sport or league in the world. And this is what happens. It's like, it's not about giving the provider or the consumer more options. It's just about how much the NFL can flex and get as much money as they can to sell off to all of these companies. So it's kind of the ugly side of the game that we love so much and the business monster that the NFL is. And this is what happens.
I get it. Like, I don't want my disdain for this to not communicate that I get it.
It would work out better for us if, like, the ultra giants, like your NBC or ESPN or YouTube, Google, to just buy it all out.
Just flex your muscle, man.
Can you just spend, like, $5 billion to just put it all on your own platform? All of it? So every single one of it?
But you got to think. I'm spoiled, right? So I'm a New York sports fan. My teams have their very own for every... Like, I watch every Knicks game on MSG, barring it not being
on there. You have the Yankees on the Yes Network.
Exactly. Yes Network there. Nets fans have it on the Yes Network as well. Mm-hmm. So on. And so MSG is also the home for the Rangers. And I am so used to having a one-stop shop for my teams that I sit here and it's like, oh my God, especially when you get into the playoffs or you get into the late season when games matter so much, it definitely gets frustrating, I'm sure, for fans because not everybody has the means.
I feel like Hawaii football fans are already used to that because we've been having Spectrum. To pay for UH football for as long as we can remember already, like the days that it was free on K5, the home team is long gone. So I think our Hawaii fans are already used to having to pay for what they want. But fortunately, like I said, at least if you're a Niners fan or some of the games that are usually on cable here, the more popular teams, like for at one point they had all Titans games on like KHON. I think they have Miami Dolphins games on KHON too now because of Tua Tagovailoa. So at least for some teams, people that don't have the means have options for certain particular teams. But sorry for my fellow Bears fans. Like We don't get nothing. I'm used to it. Like all my teams are pretty much like Midwest and East.
The Steelers should be on every channel out here.
I don't even think so. They should, but I don't even think that's the Cowboys
basically
anymore.
Hawaii's team.
I know it's the Niners, but anywho. Woo, there we go. Yabbing about NFL again. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. Hey, I'm in the mood to pour
something up. Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht on this Manawahine Wednesday. We're going to soak up the night. Woo!
We're vibing today.
We are totally vibing
even
today.
Even with some mixed vibes in the first segment.
Even with the gloomy weather. But you know what? We bring you the sunshine every morning, every weekday morning, that is. So thank you guys for tuning in. Especially, as we mentioned, Manawahine Wednesday. All right. We'll probably circle back to the NFL discussion a little later in the show, but want to make sure we give our flowers to our featured Manawahine Wednesday gals. Well, as a whole, the women's track and field team who finished third in the Big West Conference Championships this past weekend. And now they await their selections for the NCAA West Regional, which will take place May 22nd through 25th in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Is that how you say it?
Fayetteville.
Whatever.
I don't know.
It's English. Who knows what English is pronounced like anymore?
Where did you say it was?
Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say they don't even know how to say their own state. How do they expect us to know how to say cities in there? They can't say Arkansas. Like, my goodness.
Gotta be different. Arkansas. Silent S whenever we say it's like likely or convenient. Let's just not mention the S. Anywho. Huh. So a couple of the student athletes, there were a few of them available yesterday and one of the assistant coaches. However, there were two that I wanted to highlight, especially and because I thought their stories were pretty fascinating that they shared with the media yesterday. And all things considering, we talked about it to open up the show, where I think we don't mention it enough that how much this women's track and field team had to endure since 2021, when everything started getting renovated to make room for the football stadium and all of that stuff, which we talk about football all the time and the lack of means and no grass practice field for them, which is 100% a problem. However, we do not even really mention at all about how much track and field has had to do without having their like ways to practice, no home meets for the last few years.
That's the crazy thing.
And yet they are still able to do well and place third just behind Cal Poly and UC Irvine in the Big West Conference Championships and be able to qualify for these certain things. So first, we will hear from the Hammer. Defended her crown over the weekend in the hammer throw. Montserrat Montanez y Arbo. I know I don't say it as well as she does, but I tried. she said, but
she said so, it in it's such like a so beautiful tongue. It was like, oh my goodness.
But yes, the queen of the hammer throw, aka Thor. This is what she had to tell the media yesterday, and it starts off by just again awaiting whether or not she can qualify for the NCAAs.
It's definitely stressful, especially following last year's situation where I was 49th and then only 48th go. But I mean, I know God has a plan for me, so whatever happens, I'll be happy with it.
You do this on the equivalent of the scoreboard watching, or are you always watching the marks and different things?
I was last year, but I don't think I've kept track this year as much, just because my season was different and I was really mentally like struggling. But I think right now we know a few people are injured and some people might not sign up. So I'm kind of trying to like gauge the list and see what's going on with everybody.
Just from the Big West Championships, what's that mean to you to be able to come away with?
It's definitely, I had a lot of pressure going in being the defending champion. Like I said, I had a hard season. So I feel like a lot of people that were competing with me were probably excited to see that I wasn't succeeding or anything, but I just trusted my training and my coach and my teammates and just went out and did the best I could, and that worked out and it helped me get the championship, so it was really good.
Start season, was there injuries or something?
I've been a little bit injured, and then our practice situation obviously is very difficult, and everything else that we've been going through as a team. It's just been a very like strenuous in my mental health, but definitely my teammates and my coach have helped to get out of that mental space before the championship. So, yeah, that's. Yeah.
What do you guys do when you don't really have a practice facility, and then you see this, and you probably won't be around for that?
Yeah. How long do you have for me to answer that question? No, it's definitely we've got the best situation we could. Hammer throw is only a collegiate event, and us being the only collegiate team on island and in the state definitely gave us no other option than the jungle, which we're very thankful for. It's definitely not ideal, but we've worked really hard, and our coach has done so much landscaping and taking down trees by herself that has like let us being able to practice there, which is really good compared to like other schools that might have nowhere to practice.
Wait, you call it the jungle? Where's this?
Yes, so it's the ROTC field behind the baseball stadium.
Okay.
It's by the freeway entrance. I think if you go on that on ramp for the H1, you can see it. So we have just like a field with dirt, and we have like a slab of concrete for like discus throw and hammer throw, and then we just throw into a wall of rocks and trees. That's 48 meters long. As you know, both Hallie and me have 58 meter PRs. So we've done a lot of hiking up the hill this season. So that's what's going on. Yeah, tough.
It used to be like a golf range, right?
Yeah, that's where the golf team used to practice a long time ago. We have like a little pyramid of golf balls that we find in the dirt every day, but yeah. And I think the throwers used to be there before they were assigned to the Cook Fields, which is now the construction fields. But yeah.
Is it tough always being kind of like a road team?
It's definitely hard, but I think it's really good for us as students too, because it gives us time to work on our homework and study on the planes. It's definitely like, now that there's Wi-Fi on some Hawaiian airline flights, it's not that great, but we have like 6 hours allotted for sure to work. And while we're on the road, they always make sure we have study hall, and I think it's once you get used to it, it's really good to help you with your course load.
Because through your career, you haven't had a home meet, have you?
Nope, not one. I transferred here in fall 2020, and spring 21 is when all of this started, so yes.
And that was the Hammer, Queen of the Hammer Throw, defending her crown over the weekend in the Big West Conference Championship. Montserrat Montanez eat our bowl, and like she mentioned, I mean, practicing in the jungle, making their own kind of practice area where the golf team used to have to practice because they've had nowhere to practice because of all the construction to make way for the football stadium that we have now. And then obviously the grass fields has the construction area. Pretty soon though, hopefully by next season, they will have that figured out where you'll have soccer, women's soccer, and track and field will have a home once again. But, I mean, she's mentioned it, and just be having able to deal with all of that and had to deal with some mental health struggles, but still be able to work through that and defend her crown. I mean, talk about Mana Wahine.
She's as much of a warrior as you're going to get. She rocked. And I felt bad because I sat back and I thought about it because, you know, 4 years of college sports, and to not have a single home meet is kind of crazy, or a single home, you know, game or anything. Because I tried to put myself in those shoes, right? I played club basketball, mm-hmm. and I had multiple, like 4 to 5 home, like 3-game series a year. To not, at a Division III school, to not have a single home meet over the course of 4 years and still not make any excuses, not complain about it outwardly for the most part. You know, you get a little
course.
Barb in
you're
there.
Gonna, I'm sh- and th- as she mentioned, like amongst their team, like just having to lift each other up.
They make the best of the worst situation. And that is, I mean, as commendable as a trait you can find in anybody is making the best of the worst situation. And you're doing that and competing nationally. Like these are young women who are not just like, they suck. Yeah. Like they rock. These are great athletes.
And she said they're awaiting their NCAA selection. Last year she was just one slot
out. Just the cutoff.
So we will await to see how they do. All right. We do need to take a break. But when we come back, we will hear from a UH shot put athlete, Hallie Moore, next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Edit. 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside DJ Pauly B. I'm Kuule Ogbayani, a.k.a. DJ Kool-Aid. Yo, I know that's actually someone's DJ name, but I had it first.
I mean,
back off.
DJ Pauly D and Pauly B are a little too close, so I don't know if I can be like, I'm super creative.
Well,
with
I've always been Kool-Aid for a very, very long time.
Exactly, I was going to say, that's day one, A1.
But no, we appreciate all of you guys for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. And if you guys miss anything on the show, you can go back and listen to it at our website or wherever you get most podcasts. It is Mono Wahine Wednesday, and we've been featuring a couple of the women's track and field team from the University of Hawaii, just everything they've had to endure not having a practice facility for the last few years because of all the construction that has been going on at Lower Campus, and yet they are still able to keep doing the darn thing and placing third in the Big West Conference Championships over the weekend and now awaiting their NCAA West Regional selections happening next week. We just heard from the Hammer Queen of the Hammer Throw, Montserrat Montanez Yarbo, and now we will hear from shot put athlete Hallie Moore.
Seems like you already have an idea that you'll probably be in the NCAAs. Yeah. Is that a little, leave a lot of stress and just sort of focus on the event?
It was really exciting to have a lot of consistency from the season going into conference. I've been ranked in the low 20s, and then into conference I was ranked 17th in the West region, and 48 people go. So there was definitely confidence in it being that it wouldn't be my last meet, so that pressure definitely wasn't there. I think for me personally, the goal was the conference title, and then I've been chasing that school record for 4 years, so that was what I was most excited for this meet, was kind of that secondary goal, and I've always want to get some points for the team, but I was definitely excited to have another opportunity to take that down.
What does it mean to you just to another Big West champ to your resume, and especially going into just what's that mean to you?
It's always a blessing to be healthy and get to go out and compete and represent my team. And last year was a hard loss. I was also ranked first going into last year and had big throws that were this far out of bounds. And it just doesn't count if it's not in sector. It doesn't matter how far it goes. And so to have three fouls and not go into finals was really hard. So this year was just really important to me to show up for my team in that way. And so it just, failure was not an option this year. I made sure that every meet I went in with the mindset like it was conference, whether it was Azusa Pacific or Stanford or OSU, I wanted to treat every meet, three throws, and just treat it like a conference. And I think having that mindset at every meet really helped going into conference to kind of take that pressure off of myself of, I've done this every meet, I've been consistent every meet, haven't been fouling at meets, so just it's really reassuring. And I think the Lord gave me a lot of peace of, my identity is not who I am as an athlete, it's who I am in Christ. The gospel is what matters most in my life, so having that peace of knowing I could foul all three of these throws and this could be how I show up today, and obviously that was not what I was going to let happen, but it gives you a lot of peace to take that pressure off of yourself of whatever happens. The Lord is good, and it's a blessing to be healthy and competing today.
How did you get into event, but that seems like a very difficult kind of throw.
Discus?
Yeah.
I actually was a very scrawny seventh grader. I've always been a multi-sport athlete. I actually did the hurdles, though, when I was in middle school, and I was terrible at them. I was throwing shot, discus, and then doing hurdles, and I enjoyed it. I think the speed is really helpful as a thrower. You need to be really fast and explosive, but I had a really hard fall in the hurdles, just completely Superman on the pavement. Was I think I'm gonna be done with this. Not really good at it anyway, and it was just kind of the last straw, so I decided to dive into the throwing completely. And my freshman year of high school, I did really well in the shot and the discus, and my high school coach at the time was really excited about it. And a lot, it's not always a lot of high school coaches don't have the knowledge that they wish they did. It's really just them giving up themselves and their time, and he was
is still a wonderful man, good friend of my family's. And he was like, I don't think I have that much to give you, so I'm gonna look out and find a coach for you. So that was when I was introduced to my coach from high school. My parents just completely poured their money and their funds and their time into taking me to meets. And I knew that track was probably the only opportunity I was gonna have to pay for college. My family just didn't have the means. I graduated valedictorian top of my class 4.0, but even then that wasn't enough to pay for school. So it was just really amazing that something that I could pour my time into outside of that was able to get me here, and now have a bachelor's degree without debt is a huge blessing. But yeah, the numbers were so concrete. A lot of other sports, it can be harder to get recruited if you don't have the funds to travel out of state to tournaments and club teams. And it felt the most attainable. Like, if I throw this number, I'm going to be ranked here. And I felt like coaches would be able to see me better. And then I just fell in love with the sport. What you put into it, you get out of it. I don't have to worry about someone else passing me the ball or not setting me well in volleyball. So it was just really exciting that, like, this is on me and it's my responsibility if I do well or if I do poorly. So I just fell in love with that. Yeah.
I love it. And that was University of Hawaii shot put athlete Hallie Moore. And that was just a portion of her extensive interview or media scrum yesterday. And earlier we heard from Montserrat Montanez y Arbo, the hammer throw queen. And it was just, I was like, man, I was just so fascinated by all of this that the student athletes had to share. Just not only what we talked about, Montserrat sharing a lot, how they struggling or having some struggles with her mental health during the seasons and all the stuff they had to deal with without having proper practice facilities and still being able to come out on top. And then you have someone like Hallie just now, where I thought that was very interesting how she had that type of self-awareness as a young athlete to realize, like, maybe I should kind of invest into being good at this. She talked about how she used to do, like, the hurdles and she was that good. I thought that was very real. And
hurdles
so
are hard.
It was so endearing. And I'm like, it's so true. But how it's just committing herself to the throwing part of track and field and just having such success, waiting to qualify for the Olympic trials as well, or attempting to anyways, because she's just less than a foot away from being able to do so. So all this stuff, and then talking about how getting, like, planning her college career to be able to get these scholarship and these opportunities and graduate without any debt. And I can't tell you how much of a relief that is, because I'm fortunate as to have done that as well, going to college, graduating without any debt. Thank you to Kamehameha Schools and soccer. So, but that's a lot of stuff, because just like my family too didn't have the most means to, they wanted to send me to college, but they wanted to ensure that I went to a really good college. And sometimes good college means going to an expensive one a lot of the time. And my dream school was UCLA. And of course they were like, they shot that down real quick, because they're like,
I bet it is.
Yeah. We dream we could afford you to go to UCLA too. But I was not that great of an athlete, and I was not that great of a student, like a 4.0 student, to even be looked at to get any type of scholarship from UCLA. So I had to be a little more realistic. I'm fortunate with my time at Chaminade, of course.
Yeah, Chaminade, good school.
But Chaminade is an expensive school as well. And so, I mean, what a great Manawahine Wednesday feature for a couple of those athletes, and just giving the flowers to the UH track and field team that they so much deserve.
Just role models. And I know that's not what athletes are, I don't want to say supposed to be, but I know that's not like part of the job description. Yeah. But man, is it nice when they are. Like, these are two very good stories for young women and even young men to listen to and realize, you know, some self-reflection goes a long way, both in taking care of yourself and also taking care of your future. Kind of to give you an example from both of them, going through mental health struggles, even when you know you're a really, really strong athlete, going through and understanding that not just being a great athlete is going to be enough to go to college. You also want to be getting it done in the classroom, Also, getting it done in the classroom isn't enough. You need to be a well-rounded individual. Like, these are two cautionary tales, aren't the right words. These are two examples for young men and women everywhere to listen, to look at that and be like, okay, I can follow that path. I can be successful in my own route as well. It's an awesome pair of young women to feature on today's Mana Wahine Wednesday. Oh, wow.
Hey, they are Mana Wahine, so
I just forgot the final word, you know? I backed away from the mic too early.
I'm so curious, though. I wonder if I can reach out to Darren and find out when they practice and do some, like, video of practicing in the jungle. That just sounds so cool. I'm trying to think. I got to go look. She said it's kind of behind by the freeway. I'm trying to... I think I know where it is, but I'm not absolutely sure of where it is, and I want to go watch.
I definitely know where it
is. Do you?
No.
Okay. I'm like,
jeez.
Because there's like this part like behind the cubicles that I've seen via Zone 18, and we're like, wow, there's like a big open space down there, and I want to say that's probably where it is, but I just want to see them practice. And she, you know, like... Montserrat had mentioned how they throw further than the distance that is in the jungle. So they kind of like throw it onto the hill and have to go get their equipment. But then they see all the golf balls because that's where the golf team used to practice. I'm like, that's so crazy. What is it, like 48 feet or something?
So it's
like,
I think it's 48 meters?
Feet? Meters.
Feet. Feet feels right.
Okay.
And they throw... 58, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
It's double digits more. I know that much. And one, I'm going to say this. They got to go uphill to get it. It's good conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, boom, there you go. Two birds, one stone, something like that. But no, actually, it is insane the situation that they have been put in and the fact that they continue to make the best out of it. I would love to see some behind the scenes as well. And I think the people deserve to see some behind the scenes. And also, sometimes that's all it needs to have some change. Yeah. Like, and I know some change has already been enacted and we're moving towards better resources for these athletes, but you know, never hurts to kind of give a little kick in the ocole and see how we go from there.
No. And like now I'm like, okay, we're going to put it on ourselves now. We're to try to give more coverage to these young ladies, especially towards next season, where hopefully they will have a brand new and beautiful new home on campus where they can practice. And because they will have a facility, now they're going to finish first in the Big West Conference Championships. Because if they can finish third without having the resources, and if you can only imagine what happens with the coaching that they have and then being able to actually have legit practices and home meets, Big West better watch out because we're going to finish on top, baby.
We coming.
Yeah. Targets on your back.
They not like us.
Built by... the jungle. Ooh.
Jungle bows.
Ooh. We're just rocking and rolling
here.
All right.
Marketing machine.
Got to take a break. We'll be back to close things out, but don't miss us too much. We'll be back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's making me laugh just thinking about it.
It was too fun not to share.
Oh, we're laughing because Paul always says that anytime we hear our Alan Mia's voice over T Swift, it just makes him laugh. And now it makes me laugh.
He's the biggest Taylor Swift fan that I know. Like, so to know that he gets a chance to narrate our bump music coming back
when it's Taylor Swift,
It makes my heart warm knowing how warm it would make Alan's heart, you know? That's truly what it is.
Yeah, because it's so cold. So cold.
Shout out his daughter who was singing T-Swift the other day, too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love those people so much. All right.
hope they're enjoying their trip.
Yeah. Wrapping up the show, wanted to talk a little bit of WNBA as the season did get underway yesterday. I know there's a lot of talk and obviously a lot of hate because when you're popular and when you're a good person, that brings out even more haters. Caitlin Clark putting up 20, but like just not having the best day as far as turnovers.
She had a double-double. What are you talking about? Sorry.
I personally, well, one, I don't think we need to worry about Caitlin. She's just getting acclimated to the toughness and the speed of the WNBA game. But if she was able to dominate in college, like once she gets used to everything, it'll transition to the WNBA too. I'm not surprised by her turnovers because if you guys if you guys actually watch the NCAA tournament, she like was always turning the ball over, like always.
Yeah, it's one of the things in there. And I know everybody was all up in arms when Diana Taurasi was like, oh, it's a different game when you get to the W. Hey, everyone, maybe shut up when somebody, one of the best women's basketball players of all time.
And one of the toughest.
Yeah, tells you exactly what's going to happen. It wasn't hate. It was just the truth. Caitlin's still great. She had 20 points.
She's so great.
But guess what? There is an adjustment period where she had 10 turnovers because they were all up in her airspace. These are the best defenders that women's basketball has to offer now. Grown women.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, you have the best coaches at that level as well, scheming up. You heard her coach talk about it as well. Caitlin has room to grow. That's great. That's what you want. You don't want to draft a finished product first overall and be like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Like that's bad. So for everyone who would want to, you know, sound the alarm, Caitlin will be fine. But also for everyone who was like, oh, Diana Taurasi, you're just a hater. Hey, here you go.
She was just being real. But again, on the positive note, Caitlin still put up 20 points. She led her team in scoring. They did lose to the Connecticut Sun 92-71, but
Sun
she was still
very good, by the way.
She was still able to lead them. Turnovers can be worked on and fixed. Once again, I'm not surprised because she does have that bad habit. And luckily in college, she was able to make up with it because of how well she could score. But now in the WNBA, you cannot, again, turnovers are essentially giving the team, especially if they're a good W team like the Sun, you're just giving them free points. So now, at least if she can work on that, fix it, still be able to put up the scoring that she is, she's going to be fine. The adjustment period will take some time. And this was, again, against a good WNBA team. And they're, for all the ladies listening out there that played sports, and maybe for like men that either had sisters that played sports or are around competitive athletes that are women, we're nuts. Like, we are nuts. We are aggressive. We play tough. And I don't think people grasp that concept when you're going up against, yes, the best women in the world. They are tough. Like, take Diana Taurasi and pretty much put it against all the players. Like, they take no prisoners. I mean, there were times like Caitlin Clark was just getting beat up. She tried to go for a layup once, and I forget who it was, but just like double block, knocked her down, and it was just like, just another day. Just another day. That's what you got to deal with. So again, the adjustment period. Yeah, you're going to have fouls get called on you, but you better expect like those fouls are going to be hard fouls. So all of that stuff, you can tell halftime, she was with Aaliyah Boston. Aaliyah Boston's trying to talk to her like, no, it's okay, you know, head in the game, but she'll be fine. And I get it. Like, it's stuff to look out for. There's a reason why the Las Vegas Aces are as good as they are, the New York Liberty, because they have veterans, best players in the league that are there. That's why they won yesterday. Speaking of Diana Taurasi, sorry, not sorry, DT, but Aja Wilson and the Aces, 89-80 over the Phoenix Mercury. And of course, the New York Liberty winning their opening game, 85-80. So a couple of close ones, but hey, a win is a win. Yes. But when you have those teams, like the Liberty, for example, right? You have Stewie, veteran, and then you have Sabrina, who is still relatively new in the league, but it works perfectly because you already know the toughness to expect, but they're just such incredible players. And the Aces, you have someone like Kelsey Plum, who was open about her adjustment into the league, and Diana Taurasi, and like, whoa.
It's a step up.
And she,
that's honestly selling it short.
Before Caitlin,
she
was the leading scorer, right? Like, she was a phenomenal player in college. Kelsey Plum was. And even she admitted to having to go through the adjustment period. And now she is on the 2-time WNBA champ, potentially 3-peat. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to keep saying that just because, only because it's fun, because Paul's W team is like the second best team in the league.
It is funny. No, but to wrap up our conversation on Caitlin here, You know, I thought Angel Reese said it very well when she declared for the WNBA draft, I want to start from the bottom again and work my way back up. And that's what it is when you're a rookie, no matter how good you are. We saw how great this rookie class was during the few preseason games that they got. There's still an adjustment period, though. These are grown women they're competing against who are also the best in the world. They were Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark before Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and now they've got years of professional basketball under their belt.
Speaking of Angel Reese, she gets underway with her debut today, 2 o'clock p.m., and they will face the Dallas Wings, who are also a really good team. So there's quite the test for them with the Chicago Sky. And then we'll see Paul's lady, Cameron Brink, make her debut with the Sparks later on today. But we got to go. Have a great day. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kuule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.